to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings. In case my wife deletes this email, real quick, I did send a payment to my wife, you know, this extortion that she went to the state for. And I looked at the bank and I thought, well, that should have been out like a day or two ago. And I didn't understand why. So I went and signed on. And then I checked the email notification. I scheduled a payment instead of putting, you know, three down for the month. I put down five. So I scheduled it for May. So I goofed. It was an error. And so I went and rescheduled it. And because of the fact that she uses the state, you know, the highly efficient state, they require that I give 2 business days before. Therefore, the payment won't come out till Monday. So it's effectively got delayed by a week partially because of my mistake, but a whole bunch of it because the state's not fast. Reminder, you know, there was the time when, because these things have happened, I think more to, you know, I'm above average in the number of times something like this has happened to me. But I was in a bit of financial distress. And, the story is, I asked the Lord, said, if you want me to continue this, would you plop 5K in my hand? No, would you plop 10K in my hand somehow? And it was like 2 or 3 weeks later, wake up in the morning, I got a phone call, and a guy said, you know, I used to own HSNC.com, it was Heritage Systems, North Carolina. And he said, would you take $10,000 for it? You know, the jaw-dropping moment. So about between 1 and 2 hours later, I had $10,000 in my banking account. The first thing I did was send $1,000 to my wife without thinking about any other consideration. But because of the fact I did it direct, I didn't get credit for it, on behalf of the state. So, you know, I basically don't do anything now without the state because, you know, financial difficulties continue because, I don't know, it's you should not steal thing. I mean, that keeps getting in my mind, and it's really, and then, of course, you add my own errors on top of that. It's been a mess. But anyway, because my wife, you know, like I say, at least this part of it will be on her phone that she has to, well, there it goes. It's the end of it. At least she has that part of the information. And now the other things. One other thing I found fascinating, again, because of pains in my legs, I started 5 years ago or so, 6 years ago, drinking a glass of wine at night. And it radically reduces the pain in my legs, except during, it seems I still have problems, especially during wintertime. And so besides the wine, I use CBD oil. And this stuff works. I mean, that works. But again, because, you know, finances have been a little tight because obviously, you know, for a whole lot of reasons, money's tight, but lots of people around the world. I haven't been drinking. I would drink about a bottle of wine every 3 to 5 days. Of late, it's been every 5 to 7 days. But I ran out and I didn't go to my normal store. I went to the one local because I've been too busy. So I went and I tried to find something different. And I found this one. And I figured, okay, I gotta try it. There's nothing special about it that stood out about the wine itself, but it may be hard to see. No, you can read it. It's not the brand name, but the label on there. Seven Oaks. Get the point? For those who don't, that's the street name of where my family lives. In North Carolina. Because they live without their husband and dad. For some strange reason. Try to be just on one point. One of the things that it was, what's his name? Lord Acton, who said, "Those who forget to learn the lessons of history are destined to repeat it." I think that was Lord Acton. Oh boy, I don't, you know, get all these sayings together and get them mixed up. And, you know, it's kind of like, okay, that makes kind of sense to a degree. But where did he get that from? You know, is that a unique idea from him? And obviously, no, it isn't. Because there's no remembrance of former things. There's nothing new under the sun, from Ecclesiastes, the words of Solomon. And so you see things happening over and over again. And again, take one of the obvious things I pointed out before, many point out. So it's not that my tremendous, a lot of people point this thing out. You had a whole bunch of what you might call attempts or trials. I don't think it was trying to be a learning experience, but it was simply... we're trying it. It works only so well. We tried again. We tried again until we hit the home run. And that's with the panic because of a virus. You know, we had the Zika virus, the swine flu and bird flu and armpit flu, whatever. we've had a whole bunch of these things. Sometimes was it swine flu or whichever one it was, a vaccine was developed suddenly, and lots of people took it, and more people died from the vaccine, the cure, than from the disease. And it's kind of like, let's stop. We have a problem here. And, you know, so we did it again, and we did it again. And, of course, this time, you know, this is the home run. With COVID-19, or often called COVID-1984 for lots of reasons, did the same thing. Very few people, I think, remember the fiascos of the previous ones, where it was proved to be, nothing new, nothing more than the annual flu or whatnot, or that the reaction caused more deaths or injuries than the disease itself. COVID-19 is killing so many people and blah, blah, blah. And obviously there's fallacy in all of that. But the issue is the cure, the vaccine. And, you know, again, we did things like we did. The authorities did things like change the definition of a case. Case is no longer somebody who's sick, but somebody who tests positive, using a test that is demonstrably high in false positives, 90% plus, and then there's a whole bunch of manipulation that you, in the change in the language besides the case, there was the other change. Oh, what was it? But you know, we did things about. We have this approval process, but because this is such a big deal, we're going to give an emergency authorization. In other words, we haven't tested this, but we're hoping it works. And I would suggest quite possibly it was indeed tested, and when they knew it worked. Not the way it was advertised to work, but they knew it worked. Because obviously, number of the things of, you know, the obvious one that hits near and dear to me is the microclots. That's why it's some people you will see it now call it the clot shot. Because again, apparently something like 60% of people who are tested with the D-dimer test that you can get for $25 will show up that indeed they have microclots. So it's kind of like there's a problem here. Let's not talk about it. Shh, just between us friends. You know, just you and me will know that we're committing genocide. but, you know, because that's a really big deal. And the, I guess, somewhat related, the idea of the myocarditis, which, you know, impacting the heart, which my understanding is when you take myocarditis and add adrenaline, such as you're a young athlete, put the two together, it's going to kill you. And it's happening in, you know, noticeable numbers. There are a lot of people who are athletic, who are, you know, in the athletic field, and their career ends, either because of death or because they found out, okay, I got a problem. I have the myocarditis. If I go and continue my athletic career, it's going to kill me. It's happened to a lot of people. So you have a whole bunch of people who have died and a whole bunch of people who their lives were changed dramatically. It's kind of like getting in a car accident or something like that in nature, and you have a physical disability from it that's going to change your career, you know, and you did it, and you it wasn't a car accident, is the fact you took the shot. It's happening, and you know, especially to some notable players. I remember listening to a woman who was a, I think she was a marathoner or something of nature, something like that, and really good, one of the top tier players, and that's it, she's finished. Or was she a tennis player? Anyway, but then I pointed out that there is the growing body of evidence that there's problems here. So look at Ukraine, look at Ukraine, here's the problem, Ukraine. And that's exactly what's happened. The opportunity of Ukraine has been amplified way out of proportion, I would suggest, in order to shift the mind of the masses from, oh, Ukraine is the issue of the day, not COVID-19. Because so many holes in COVID-19 were showing up. It's kind of like we're gonna start to look bad here in a little while. So let's shift. And how much was opportunistic? How much was it planned? Because again, you know, besides Trudeau and Macron and so many others who are highly affiliated with the World Economic Forum. So is apparently Zelensky. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but Vladimir Putin. So he's part of that group. So was the timing a coordinated effort? It's an interesting question. I don't know. I don't know if anything like that has been honestly suggested with evidence. But the fact that he's involved with the World Economic Forum, I think that's easy to find. But I pointed out that I think it was in the UK, some studies were showing that the vaccinated are the ones that are having the trouble. And it was the lying with statistics, because as I pointed out, normally you hear about the unvaccinated and the vaccinated. And you say, well, that's the only two groups. The reality is there's the unvaccinated, the recently vaccinated, and the vaccinated. Because if you're recently vaccinated, you're typically counted in the unvaccinated camp until like 2-4 weeks, whatever it is, until you're called vaccinated. And you're not considered fully vaccinated until you've had the two shots or the three shots. So you can say, well, that's only these people, and they've had the shots for some time. But the people between that are unvaccinated in the sense of they haven't had a vaccine at all, is the true unvaccinated. But the recently vaccinated, which are categorized as unvaccinated, but they've had the vaccines. That's this, and they haven't reached that point of they have the two or the three and they've had it for a couple weeks, whatever. That's where the deaths are occurring. That's where the spike is in the issues. And a study in the UK a few months ago demonstrated that. So, and one was introduced a few days ago from Canada. And again, the line with statistics is brilliant. Because what they did is they say, look, here are the unvaccinated and the vaccinated. They broke it down, unvaccinated, the two-shot vaccinated, and the three-shot vaccinated. And where are the deaths that they attribute to COVID? And obviously, when they attribute to COVID, it's normally, it would be... I think you can well argue it's simply any flu, because flus kill people, especially people who have comorbidities, because it's the last straw on the camel's back. Somebody's been saying that for the last couple of years. Some guy, whoever it was. And so what's happened is they say, okay, look, here is this huge group of people. Well, here is a small group of people unvaccinated, and here are the vaccinated. And it's you're so much healthier if you're vaccinated. The death rate is so much lower. It's lying with statistics. Because what you did, because I found an article that went through it in depth, because the deaths, you know, what they did is they looked at the deaths this year. So where you've had time for a huge part of the population to become vaccinated. And they show where they claim in Canada 80-90% of people vaccinated and whatnot, and they show how that's simply untrue. They massage the numbers to make it look bigger. I can't recall off the top of my head how they did that, but also they say, look, the death count for the unvaccinated is so much higher than the vaccinated. The way they did that is they went back from 2020, 2021, and the beginning of 2022 and put it all together. So you didn't have a vaccine till the end of 2020. So all those deaths beforehand, you're counting as unvaccinated, of course. And then, of course, in 2021, the percentage was going up throughout the year. So obviously, the majority of people who are dying because of flu-related are going to be unvaccinated. But instead of looking at 2.25 years of data, look at the recent quarter of data. Because this is where you have a sampling of these people are truly unvaccinated. They haven't had a vaccine at all. And these people in the last year have had the vaccines. Now look at just that sampling. So what's happened this year? You're over 5 times more likely to die if you're vaccinated. When you look at the more recent statistics, without taking in the time when there were so many people who were unvaccinated in the first place, you're 5 times more likely to die if you had a vaccine and have other issues. You know, they're even talking about the rise again of AIDS, or as it has been called, and including by me, VAIDS, the vaccine-acquired immune deficiency. Because that's really what it is. And they're calling it AIDS, but it's VAIDS. I think that actually has become an official term within the non-official medical community. But anyway, so what you have now is a growing body of evidence. The vaccine's a killer. So focus on Ukraine. Don't look at this. Look at Ukraine. Because, that's the panic. So we distract the eyes because there's no remembrance of former things. And now it's happening. Now the issue is Ukraine. And we say, what Russia is doing is so bad. It's terrible. It's disgusting. Well, I do think, you know, I question... And I don't know enough of the details, obviously, that they know. But I question why they didn't just simply go and defend the Donbass area. Because these people said, we no longer want to be part of Ukraine. So we're going to break off and become an independent country. Donetsk and Lugansk. They were recognized as an independent country by Russia and then somebody else. So at least two, and there's probably others who have recognized as independent countries. And why didn't they simply say, okay, they're asking for help, we'll go there? Because especially the Azov Brigade has been doing absolutely cruel and heinous things there. So why they didn't do that instead of attacking the whole country, I don't know. And then, of course, there is the issue of going to war in the first place. But as I point out so often, again, if you're going to accuse somebody, a political figure and whatnot, do it in fact. You know, it's the popular thing, and any little gaffe President Biden, any little gaffe, you'll make fun of him. And I've noticed that sometimes those gaffes aren't really gaffes. He says something clear, but he's, you know, if I stumble on a word, because obviously, you know, I do, it's, you know, you're simply getting people on the bandwagon. We want to slander this guy, you know. And of course, the one I point out so often is, if you want to slander Trump, it's not because of the Russian collusion, because he's a murderer when he fired missiles into Syria. And of course, the list of things like that would go on. But I mean, that's the blatantly obvious one, because that was cold-hearted murder. But because, again, the evidence completely contradicts what he did, and that was known at the time. But so, again, so you make the attack. If you're going to attack Putin in this same way, don't do it on a lie. And what's happening right now? Lie after lie after lie after lie. You know, there were the ones that I think were literally, shall we say, shot down. what was it? The ghost of Kiev. It was, the whole thing was fraud, there was a whole bunch of endorsement within the U.S. media and some political figures, rah rah, for a guy who doesn't exist. There are, as I pointed out, the video that Zelensky showed to the U.S. Congress, you know, the emotional tearjerker. At least two of those things were demonstrable fraud. If you're going to attack Putin because of these things, do it with evidence. Do it with evidence. And of course, the same thing is true with attacking Zelensky, who's, you know, some call him the cokehead of Kiev, because apparently he, with Hunter Biden, would overindulge with coke. Where's the veracity of that? There is the clear evidence. You know, speaking of Hunter Biden, it was no. The laptop thing that didn't happen. Okay, yes, it did. That's what I think New York Times is saying. Oh yeah, okay, yes, it did. It's true. And all the stuff, all the pictures, and all the stuff. That's true. But Biden's in office now, and a lot of people will say, if they knew about the Hunter Biden stuff, Biden, you know, the dad wouldn't have become president. Because it's horrendous, you know. And again, it goes back to, if you're going to attack Biden because of the fact he slipped on the steps going up to, but he got up and got up to the top. So I mean, that's a stupid attack. But it's right there, and I saw it shortly after it happened, actually, when he talked about, you know. He was in Ukraine as vice president and got somebody fired because it was political pressure. And that's the kind of guy that was voted into office. And no, we don't want to talk about that because we want to get a particular person in the office. Or our party. And he's the one representing our party. You know. So it's based on lies. But so now we got to distract. Even though apparently the Hunter Biden laptop has started to recirculate in the news, but that's another issue. But there's a whole bunch of things happening with Ukraine. There's the bombing. There was the nuclear power plant where, and I don't know if anybody in the mainstream media has admitted this yet, but it was the Azov Brigade, I'm pretty sure it was them, or was the Adar, whatever it is. It may have been only one person or something of that nature, went into this training building and with some rocket launchers to fire at the troops that were protecting the plant, who happened to be Russian, because they had peacefully took over the plant. But in order to make it a big PR thing, they went to the training building, shot a few rockets off, and the Russians retaliated forcefully. And it makes the Russians look bad, because, oh no, they're fighting, bombs going off at a nuclear power plant. It's the PR thing. And then of course there is all the stuff about the chemical biological laboratories and so forth, which, you know, apparently the U.S. has admitted there's 26 of them funded by the U.S. in Ukraine. It's kind of like, really? Why are we doing that? But we don't want to talk about that. And then, you know, I see. You know, the Mariupol city in the southeast part. What's happened there again is a twist. And one of the things I find fascinating, because I heard when this all started, the Russian tactic will be, they will go to a city, surrounded, where a city where they have the military issues, surrounded, and stop. Prevent reinforcements coming in, because the objective is not to destroy the people. They destroy the military targets and then surround it such that, and then provide avenues of escape. Because what happens in those avenues of escape, they say, all right, here's a corridor. You can go out here. You'll be protected. We will protect you. You can leave as civilians and unarmed. And the objective behind that, one, to protect the civilians, but two, those who are in the military to don civilian clothes and leave. Because they don't want to fight them. And apparently it's fairly effective. It's been effective in other times. But it's a good military strategy, and apparently it's one that they've used for decades. But we don't want to talk about that. So what we do is, when there is a corridor set up, such as at the Mariupol, the Azov Brigade will attack it in order to make the Russians look bad. Because again, it's a PR thing. And you know, I did the thing about the, you know, where they check for tattoos and so forth. Mentioned that yesterday, but. And the other thing I found today, listen to a woman who said, I heard one lady in the Donbass area with the Russian troops there, you know, coming into the street. An old lady said, thanks for, or just, I'm glad you're here. God bless you. Because again, the Donbass region is mostly Russian and Russian-speaking, and Ukraine outlawed the Russian language. And of course, where is a lot of the Azov Brigade in Ukraine? And I've seen places. You know, it's what was reminiscent. Gee, I'm not getting short. What was reminiscent is I've seen where in the Donbass area, the Azov Brigade would go in and take some kind of factory or whatever it was, and turn it into a prison camp and do some unpleasant things to the population there, because you had to submit. I mean, they're basically terrorists to their own people. And I thought about that, because where have I seen that recently? Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. The difference between the prison camp that the Azov Brigade had and the prison camp the United States government had at the Bagram Air Base is, this was kind of like an old factory kind of thing. It looked kind of, you know, it wasn't nice and clean. The Bagram Air Base was nice and clean, an intense torture place, Because, you know, the thing about torture is if you do it cruelly, people die and it doesn't last. The way we do it, the way the U.S. government does it, we can torture over time. We're disgusting. But anyway, that's a derivation. But what's the point? All our focus now is on, and I would suggest some of the stuff that we're talking, that I mentioned about the fallacies going on in Ukraine, as it starts to come out, it's kind of like, oh, look over here. There's something new. Let's focus over here and Ukraine will go away. I'm whether it takes a few months, whether it takes till 2023 or 2024, Ukraine will go away. It'll all be forgotten. There's no remembrance of former things, nothing new under the sun. But then go back to the COVID-19 thing. We've shifted focus to Ukraine. And what's happening? More and more things are coming out that, oops, there's some fallacy behind the COVID. So we have to do whatever we can to shift the focus. So, well, that was back then. Nobody cares about that anymore. But I think there's a difference. You know, in the wake of all this, lots of people are injured or die, both in the COVID and Ukraine. The tragedies are immense. You know, we look at the overall. But as I watch, you know, I watch people going down the street, whatnot, and they're individuals. They are, dare I say, human beings created in the image of God. And we tend to follow a particular group that we're part of. Apparently, in Ukraine, there are the, we're pro-Ukraine, and then we're pro, well, you know, the Russian culture, because they're Russian. Or they don't want anything to do with how Ukraine, because again, you know, the 2014, that was a coup d'etat. That was not a fair election. And of course, there's problems with election, but either way. The misdeeds involved around that are huge. And, but they're a democratic country. You know, I hear people say, oh yeah, Ukraine is democratic, Russia is not. I would contend that the evidence is probably quite strong that the fairness of elections in Russia is far greater than Ukraine, because that was deception. But then again, as I've pointed out, elections in the United States are no different. Does election fraud occur? Big time. But then, of course, you only complain about it if it's the wrong guy getting in office. Anyway, but my concern is we see how, you know, the tragedies that occurred because of the COVID-19 or occurring now because of Ukraine, they're long lasting. And especially with the vaccine, when we see the death count skyrocketing. You know, again, it's the insurance company saying, we're going to have to change our rates because people in the 18 to 60 bracket are dying like 3 or 4 times the rate they used to, so we're losing money. So now it's impacting our wallet. Somebody's going to change. Again, the young athletes, the impact on reproduction has been significant. The impact of the microclots is huge. And those are the things that show up in coming years. So that tragedy is going to continue for years. And what do we say? Oops. We accidentally killed however many, probably millions upon millions. Oh, well, we had a good heart. No, again, as I pointed out over 2 years ago, the purpose behind COVID-19, money, power, eugenics. I mean, I have the records. You can go look at the videos. I said it over and over again. Whole bunch of new billionaires, lots of money being made, powers being put into the hands of fewer and fewer players in so many ways, not only in the power of the state, but the power of the corporation. Because, you know, the number of small businesses that went under is massive. Absolutely massive. Because, change the playing field. And then, of course, eugenics. If your objective is population control, then the, again, you hit a home run. the impact, it is democide. It is, my family and I, we got this population, demographic winner. A video that was well done, and we're seeing it happen. But, it's being fueled by the change of culture and so many things. And, of course, what we do. So what happens is you have, because there's a point behind this. We see the change. More and more evidence is coming out that COVID-19, the killer is not COVID-19, the killer is the cure. the vaccine is the killer. So as that evidence mounts, we got to shift and talk about, this is a bigger deal. Ukraine, talk about Ukraine. Because I don't want to get caught, especially if I was promoting. It is like I mentioned the comment from Denis Rancourt about wearing the mask. If you wore the mask, you have an investment in wearing the mask. Oh, by the way, let me remind you, I have one now. Never wore it, but I have one now. if you've invested in that, saying you are wrong can't do. Because that would require humility. No, I can't go there. To say you were wrong. Don't want to go there. So we have to find excuses for the problems the evidence is growing more clear. We have to find excuses that, we tried to do the right thing with COVID-19 and the vaccine. But we can't talk about that now, so let's talk about Ukraine or the next issue. Because again, how many people remember? I've got the, 60 Minutes? I got the video of it from many years ago about the number of people who died from the swine flu, I think, the cure, the vaccine, not the flu. We don't remember that. There's no remembrance of former things. Somebody said that. But it's that I can't admit to that. I can't admit that I grabbed on to the COVID-19 scare tactics and got in hook, line, and sinker. I wore the mask, I got the vaccine, I social distance, and I was wrong. No, I don't think you'll find many people do that. You have to find ways to say, look at Ukraine. What happens if you find out I persecuted this guy because I figured he wasn't doing right? Because, I remember the comment from Jim Cross early in our marriage about, he said, my son-in-law makes more money than I do. And I was. I got into six figures in the early 90s, and it was kind of like, comfortable. So there were some issues there. One, I believe what I did was legitimate. I produced a product and sold a lot and therefore made a lot of money. My big error is I spent the money as if it was going to continue. That was not a little error. That was a major boo-boo. I was dead wrong. I was dead wrong on that. What I knew was, I was convinced this won't stop. This is only going to grow. It was my pride, my arrogance, and I was wrong. I heard of other ways to live, and I was more interested in my pride. I was dead wrong. So when I look at somebody who says, I wore the mask to protect grandma. I took the vaccine because I didn't want to die from COVID-19. And now you find out you're wrong. It's hard. It's intensely hard. So what do? Laugh at those people? No, you offer grace. So if somebody persecutes somebody because he didn't maintain that high income, we're not going to find out why. We don't want to touch the whistleblower question. We're not going to find out why. We're just going to push him away. Because we may have an idea, a hint in the back of our mind, because if we don't push him away, we may find out I'm wrong. Don't want to do that. Persecute him. You know, it was, I really think clearly, there may have been other things, but the thing that was kind of like the real eye-opener for me was being a pro-life advocate, pushing Psalm 139. You know, but pushing Genesis 1, the first command God gave to man, it's kind of like, get out of here. Be gone. Be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1:28. It's the first command God gave to man because it was so easy in the pro-life group to look at those people. They're bad. We got to rally together to be godly. But now, if we look at Genesis 1, I'm not rallying against those people. I'm trying to have to live it myself. No, I don't want to do that. Persecute him. That was the beginning for me. That's the thing that opened my eyes, and I saw it so many other ways. And now, you know, if you promote the idea that marriage begins with sex and ends with death and can back it up from Scripture, plug the ears. We don't want to hear this. We don't want to contend in this issue. We don't want it brought up in our environment. Because, well, and especially the thesis, the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. Because, one, I can give you, you know, a reasoned response on why the Bible is true. And a lot of people don't want to go there. Because especially when you go to part B, the institutional church being a fraud, if you allow that message to get into the institutional church, you know, some of the pillars are being knocked out from under you. It's going to attack your pride, maybe your income. Mostly your pride, but quite possibly your income. Because the Social Security thing. When I point out, if you're a recipient of Social Security, you are a thief. It's unambiguous. It's okay, let's plug our ears and persecute that guy. Because unlike the vaccine question for COVID-19 and all the other stuff. We can shift to the Ukraine thing and let this thing kind of go away because our focus is over here. And they seem to be doing a really good job of it. And so we won't talk about that anymore. But if somebody keeps bringing up the idea that marriage begins with sex and ends with death, and that's why if you proclaim something else from the pulpit, that's why the, again, I will point this out yet again, the change to the card, kozlowski.org/hebeggedus, where I demonstrate that those things that were said from the pulpit at MediView about marriage were wrong. Some were right, but so many things. No, I'm sorry. They were dead wrong. And what you have to do is plug your ears, close your heart, isolate that guy. Same way with the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. You got to plug your ears, close your heart, because you can't take it on. You can't let the question come to the table. Because if you let the question come to the table, you can rationalize by saying, well, he might convince somebody. He's wrong, but he'll convince somebody, and we don't want those people who are weak in the faith to go off in a different direction. It's because you're given an excuse to leave, and that's not right. That's a good rationalization, is it? But it is rationalization. There's no truth in what you have to back that up with. Because if you can back up obedience to Christ is to form the institution, back it up. But you can't, can you? You simply can't. So you're standing on shaky ground. So what do? You go and say, thank you, Lord, I tithe. I'm not like this sinner who doesn't go to an institutional church anymore, who does simply admits he's a flawed man, he's a sinner only saved by grace. But I tithe of my mint and dill, and I fast twice a week, and all the other things, and aren't I special? It's exactly what's happening. Gee, you'd think that maybe God knows the character of man, his creation. Maybe he does. So what do? Before I get to an hour, what do? You continue to proclaim. I go back to the 2 Timothy 4. In season and out of season. When the opportunity is there, when the opportunity is not. You proclaim. It says preach in a lot of translations, which again has the connotation of a guy behind the pulpit. The word is caruso, which is to herald or proclaim in a lot of Greek dictionaries. It's not to stand behind a pulpit. Don't read that in. That's not what it says. And again, the verse 1 there, it's not I charge you, meaning specifically to Timothy. It is I charge in the presence. The you was added in. Again, check and see if what I say is true. Because if you put the you in there, oh, this is a command to Timothy. Or people like him, like pastors, because you had to preach. No, it's to the follower of Christ. It puts weight on a follower of Christ. Might have to, I don't know, follow Christ. And you do, and you rebuke and things of that nature, correct, with all patience. You never give up. And I'm not going to give up. And what do you offer? You know, it's the Matthew 19, or excuse me, 18, about the, in this case, if your brother sins against you, you go to your brother, nothing happens. You go with other witnesses. Well, and of course the witnesses is if you've done it publicly, you have the witnesses. And you go to not the institutional church leadership. You go to the ecclesia. You go public. And you continue to say, no, you're not keeping it with the truth of the gospel, the Galatians 2 idea. Over and over and over again, offering grace. And to whatever degree that grace is received, it's not, great, I got you, now I want to pound on you. No, it's wonderful. Let's celebrate reconciliation. I mean, what is the example of Christ when he forgave somebody? So often you will see Christ in his incarnation forgave somebody, and it was not, now I'm going to get my revenge. No. It's now we can have a relationship. That's the model I need to pursue. So I want to call out the sinner, and I'm one of them. Pursue reconciliation and celebrate grace between us. I want to do that with institutional church leadership. I want to do that with extended family. I'm going to do it with my kids. And beyond question, as you know, here it comes. I want to do it with my wife. The woman I love and adore, you know, anyway, I love that lady, and I'm committed to her. I am keeping the promise. My lady, my wife, I love you, and I want you back.